We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary, see your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. Rudo and AJ coming to you answering some listener questions on the show today. But first of all, the big thing going on right now in news in the Avalanche, Martin Kaut put on waivers today. Kind of a two-part question here going in with Martin Kaut. One, why Martin Kaut? But two, does this mean the Avs are close to getting some guys back, AJ?
Yeah, I mean, I think we saw a practice today that Valanciunas looks like he's either going to be good to go tomorrow against the Rangers or Sunday against the Blues. He looks ready to go, man. I mean, he's full contact. He's skating hard. He's doing everything. We know that the Avs have been slow in the past to bring these guys back into the lineup because they've had sort of the luxury of of runway. I would be curious if, in the face of everything going on right now, if that continued. It does. It also, I mean, Darren Helm and Arturi Lehkonen are skating in non-contact sweaters. I almost said red, but I don't know if they're actually red anymore. I don't know if they're red or orange, and I don't want to get into it.
Oh, God. Yeah, we don't need to have this conversation again.
They're in non-contact sweaters. So right there, like, it'd be kind of a weird one, but you could make the argument that that's a line if you wanted.
That would be a weird line, but you could do it.
Putting Darren Helm in the middle of those?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, really, like, Mikko will go in the middle of those two, but certainly Nichushkin looks like in the next couple of days he'll be ready to rock. And then who knows on Helm and Helm and Lehkonen, like what the next steps are. I know Rodriguez has started skating a little bit too, so
lots of guys trending in the right direction though.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of what makes this whole, like, the McKinnon injury was like the one that like pushed everybody over the edge, where it was like they're getting close, and you know, they can't keep having these injuries, they're getting close, and then McKinnon went and it was just like,
oh boy, man.
And the timing of it is so interesting because he's out for a month. Well, by the time that month ends and both he and Manson are about to return, everybody else but Landy could realistically be back, with
should at least Byram, be close, yeah.
Byram being the only real question mark of, like, we really don't know what's going on there.
Yeah. Definitely a weird one with Bo, but
yeah,
beyond his lower body,
like, super mysterious injury. He's been seen wandering around the locker room and out and about, like we've seen Byram.
Yep.
and he had started to skate, and now he's not. And so it's like, well,
yeah.
So I don't know, man. That's a weird one, but a lot of these guys should be back before McKinnon, and
yeah.
That is encouraging. I mean, that's where you're like, okay, you know, that's
yeah, kind of what we have talked about a little bit before on the show. If the Avs can get through like the second week of December, you start to feel like maybe this team can get a roster back to where winning some games is a realistic expectation.
Yeah, I mean, they still have to win games, man. They can't lose every game for the next 2 weeks. You just can't.
I hear you, but also it's hard to put any expectations on this lineup right now.
For me, they've got to find ways to win some of these games.
Okay.
They just have to.
We'll talk about it more in a little bit. The other side of that question, Martin Kaut, the one waived. I doubt you're surprised on this one, but
I don't get it.
Options like Sampo Ranta could have been sent back down or otherwise. Jean-Luc,
well, like,
plenty of other choices.
You just watched a team claim Jason Megna in that maybe too, yeah. The world's weirdest waiver claim of all time.
Yeah.
A bad team claims like a bottom tier guy, a
non-impact player. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, it's too early to be like, oh, they're very clearly tanking. And like, they have, and Anaheim is one of those teams that has so many young guys that can use ice time that, mm-hmm. that what the massive WTF for me, with that claim. So I don't have any confidence at this point that Martin Kaut gets through. I think if scouts had been watching closely, they would see what I see, which is an inconsistent guy who just is really, really miscast in the system that he is in right now. And his inconsistency is why I think he's first on waivers. You look at last night's game against, and the entire roster is overmatched.
Yep.
And like, you know, Ben Myers has one nice play and the rest of it is a total nightmare, but there's a nice play there that he doesn't finish, oddly enough, to Kaut in front of the net. Cal Burke in his debut had the one nice centering feed to Rantanen in front. Doesn't even get a shot on goal, but
nothing after that. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, you're looking up and down. You're like, yeah, this was fine. It wasn't great. It wasn't terrible. It was fine. And Martin Kaut really feel like he just kind of got lost in all of those guys last night.
Yep.
So the timing of it, I think, makes sense, but to ignore the entire body of work here where Kaut has actually had a string of some solid games. He's certainly made some nice plays. Like,
has avoided for the most part the disaster game.
It's just a really, their approach to him continues. I mean, it's consistent, right? They just it's want something consistent. More and different. They want something yep. more. They want something different from him. And he is who he is. And I think the biggest struggle with Kaut at this point is that Kaut is just not fit to be in on a team that really wants to get up and down the ice and play with the kind of pace that they do. We've seen he's just not really great for that. And what do? You know, you know, you're trying to make it work. And I think that there's been a lot of like fine play where I've liked a lot of things that he's done.
Certainly personally would have sent a couple of other people down before him, but mean, the Avs pretty clearly see this a certain way, and it is what it is.
Yeah, it's well, and we've also seen guys go on waivers and stick around in Colorado before.
Also true. Just weird that they were so aggressive to do that after the Megna claim, like you were talking about.
Yeah, because if he gets claimed, if Kaut gets claimed, now you've lost Megna and Kaut. Yeah. And it's very fair to wonder, you know.
At that point, instead of getting bodies back, you're still playing Cal Burke. And no offense to Cal Burke, but that dude played his first right. NHL well, like, game last night.
Like, well, and like there was a reason that he was your 11th like call up or whatever, yeah. Right? Like you didn't have him high on that pecking order. He was not a priority to get him into the NHL and give him looks. Like you made that move when you had to make that move.
Yep.
And it's, I don't know, to me it is, it's odd that Kaut is like, he's the fall guy here.
Yep.
Because, you know, them putting waivers and putting Megna and Galchenyuk on waivers to be sent down. And then to call two other guys up, that's a clear sign of like, we're just not, these guys are hurting us.
Yeah.
Because we saw huge defensive errors from both of those guys that cost them goals in games where they just don't have the margin for error for guys to be making those kinds of mistakes right now.
Yeah.
So swapping putting those guys on waivers, sending them down, and then swapping them out for different AHL or different AHL call-ups, that's one thing. But if Kaut is going down simply to put Val Nichushkin in the lineup, like, is your lineup really better with Martin Kaut in Loveland and Val Nichushkin in his place? Like, the options are, you have, and we'll just use Burke because he was the most recent, not like a personal thing against him, of course. Right. But like, is your lineup better off with Burke and Nichushkin or Kaut and Nichushkin?
Right. Just pick a name in the Avs bottom six. And there's probably an argument for some of them that, yeah, they'd be better off with that guy over Martin.
Well,
Kaut,
and like a guy like Jean-Luc Foudy, I think, has done enough for your like, sure. Okay, like maybe you can give him a couple of more games. I don't think he's been anywhere near as solid as a lot of people are making it out to be. I just think he's a really good skater, and that's easy to notice.
Yep, agree.
But when it comes to actually doing things, I don't think he's been particularly impactful. You want to talk about a guy that has actually had a little bit of an impact, but Charles Udon has been... I mean, he had certainly seven shots on goal in his first
certainly
game.
Certainly can, like, throw the puck at the net, that's for sure.
And the frustrating part there is that of those seven, five of them were probably really high quality.
And none of them went in.
Yeah, and like none go in. You know, it happens to Nathan MacKinnon all the time. But
true.
Obviously he's not Nathan MacKinnon. But like what I'm saying is that Udon has come up and actually like done some. Now, his defensive zone work is a true like miscarriage of justice, but at least on one end of the ice, he's contributing something. He's
right.
Moving the ball forward.
He's not there. Just a guy who's there.
So like with Udon, like that's a guy that's making an impact where I'm like, you know, that's a guy that I think you can say, which, all right, keep him.
Yeah. I mean,
for the time being,
I don't know. There's a lot of conversations to have there. I know everyone's all hype on Dryden Hunt after the fight the other night, but
well, and like Dryden Hunt, I think has, especially like the track record that he showed with the Rangers last year. Like, there's some rope there.
I get it, but that guy really has not provided you with anything in 15 games now.
Yeah, I think what he's provided you is he's given you a physical edge. He's given you a try hard. He's given you a hard forechecker. He's got very, very, very little puck skill. This is not Nicholas Abe-Kubel, who can do some of those same things, but could score a few goals along the way. I mean, Dryden Hunt's one goal was a blind, just backhanded
hope
just
for the best. Rebound, yeah.
And just slipped through a five hole, right? Like, it's a good play. It's a good goal. They needed that goal. But when it comes to the offense, we've seen multiple occasions where he has not finished really high quality chances that have largely been set up for him by others.
Yep.
But with Hunt, I think I just think like there's like that is a strict role player that when everybody is healthy, he does kind of the same thing that Curtis McDermott does for you, but in just a better overall package for what the Abs want. He's not as big, but he still hits. He's still willing to fight. He's a much better skater. He goes in hard on the forecheck. Like that guy strikes me as if he's taking Curtis McDermott's job as the 13th forward in a healthy lineup, I'm cool there.
Sure. I struggle to see if there wasn't the waiver conversation around him, I struggle to see him on the roster. But as we know, if he just put on waivers,
I don't struggle to see him because Bednar has shown he wants a guy like this. He likes a guy like this in his bottom six, you know, going back to Gabe Bork. You know, in his first year here, he's always wanted at least one of these guys hanging around the edge of the roster for him to use in this way. Personally, I'm a lot happier with Dryden Hunt as a 13th guy, as the 13th forward, than Curtis McDermott.
I mean, sure.
And really, like, if that makes McDermott the 14th forward, then you're talking about some forward. Because, again, McDermott at forward is not a thing that I've hated. So those are two depth forwards who do the same thing for you, but you just have more of it now. All right, that's not the worst thing in the world.
In any case, we do have to move on a little bit. A question from Samo here who says, Makar's play has been down from his stellar performances that we're usually used to. Do y'all think it's because of him trying to play more defensively with most of the AHL players right now, or is he just having a bad start to the season? One, his start really isn't that bad.
He's got 24 points in 24 games. We really can't be sitting here dogging a guy for a bad start when he's that.
Is it that unbelievable super god tier? No. Is it still really insanely elite? Yes. But two, and AJ, you know, I have talked about this off air. I mean, that dude's just running out of gas.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing every situation imaginable. What was that? I don't know if you guys heard that.
Nope.
Great. Then it's just me being crazy. he's playing in every situation imaginable. And you got to remember, like, as much as the goal scoring is like one of the things that separates him from his peers, he's a very high end playmaker. And right now, who's he making plays for?
Nobody.
You know, even. Who was it? The Winnipeg game. He makes an unbelievable
in that game. Yeah,
unbelievable play at the top of the zone. Dances everybody, and with an insane find of Alex Newhook on the back door, and it goes between his legs. Stick.
Yep.
So, it's one of those things, man, where you're just. The playmaking is kind of lost on the group around him right now. And you can see that he's pressing, trying to do more on his own. You know, last night, I think there was a really good example when they were at 4-on-4.
Mm-hmm.
And he jumped a pass high in the defensive zone right at the blue line.
Yep.
And he ended up knocking it away and it went over the bench. And it was either that or ended up offside. And anyway, they blew the whistle immediately on it and nothing came of it. But that was one where he saw an opportunity for him to be able to do all of it.
As an individual, yeah.
Exactly. And he took that chance. If he misses that,
it's real bad.
it's a really big problem.
Yep.
But he saw that in Philadelphia. You look in Philadelphia, he makes that play. He makes the play along the wall and gets a breakaway in the third period. He just doesn't finish it.
Yep.
He just doesn't, and he gets slashed on the hands, and it should have been a penalty shot, especially given the penalty shot that he had just
called against McDonald the other day.
Yeah, exactly. And if not a penalty shot, it should have been a fucking power play
for sure.
Something it really should have been. There was clear. It was clear separation. Everything. It was all the hallmark of a penalty shot for me. But Hart makes the save there. He just doesn't finish that. But that was one where, like, look, if he finishes that play, he finishes that game with a goal and an assist. And are we having this conversation right now? I don't think we are. And that's the margin of error is that Cale Makar now has to, and same thing with Mikko Rantanen, they now have to do all of it.
Yep.
All of it. And if they don't do all of it, they're not getting it from anywhere else. I mean, what was dangerous last night? I wrote this. I imagine four people read my piece that I wrote last night. But the Avs had, in all situations, the Avs generated 10 scoring chances last night. All right? You guys know how bad that is? I'd be willing to bet that you don't. The worst team in the NHL at generating scoring chances is Chicago Blackhawks. They average 22 per game. So I was like, all right, 10 seems bad. Let's go back a ways.
The Avs regularly generate 10 in one period.
when was the last time the Avs had a game that they generated that little in terms of quality of scoring chances? Do you want to know? Because I know the answer.
I think they had one where it was like 14 or 15 not that long ago, but 10, it has to be like years.
Everybody remember that 10-1 loss in Montreal?
Yeah.
That was one of them. There were two instances in December of 2016 where the Avs had 10 scoring chances.
Yeah.
One of them was that 10-1 loss, and one of them was a 2-0 loss to Minnesota, in which they only generated 0.66 expected goals in the entire game. Last night, the Avs generated 1.02. expected goals in all situations. That is a game with four power play opportunities.
Yep.
They did nothing. I mean, there was nothing. Yep. So this Makar question is Makar a unicorn and super duper special and amazing and all that? Yes. But especially for a defenseman, especially for Mikko Rantanen, these are two guys whose playmaking is arguably their greatest strength. Now, for Mikko, that's frustrating because he's such an unbelievable shooter that you're like, just do that more. But he is who he is. And he's a high-end playmaker trying to make something happen for those guys around him. And right now, you know, how does Charles Hudon end up with 7 shots on goal? He plays next to Mikko Rantanen. He plays with Cale Makar behind him. You know, he gets guys that give him opportunities. Yep. Oddly enough, his little breakaway that Hudon had was started by Martin Kaut.
Yep.
And you know, there's just no finish. So I think it's tough to say that Cale Makar's off to a slow start or it's not a great start or anything. He's watched all the guys that he's watched all of his running mates go down.
I get to use my favorite phrase with the Avs right now. They just ran out of talent. Not
fair enough.
Yeah, different phrase. But anyway, we are brought to you by Pins and Aces, the official golf apparel merchandiser of DNVR, family owned and based right out of Colorado here. So you can go over to pinsandaces.com and use the code DNVR when you check out to get 15% off your order. Of course, they have apparel, they have golf bags, they have the beer koozie you can put in your golf bag, all sorts of amazing stuff. The gear is great for the golf course, but also great off the golf course if you're into polos and things like that. So check them out, pinsandaces.com. Use the DNVR code when you check out. And we're also brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook. You go over there, you bet $5 when you sign up for a new account with code DNVR. And you get $150 in free bets if you pick the NHL team to win their next hockey game. As long as you get that right, $150 to play with on DraftKings Sportsbook.
Would have been nice to have that shit last night.
Yeah. Would have been a pretty easy bet to take Boston.
It was, especially because they were plus. They were like plus 180.
Which is crazy, yeah. That was free money.
Vegas, you paying attention to the Avs at all? Or did you just lose so much money last year you're not taking chances?
Anyway, bet on the Avs opponent if you want. Bet on Hyalai, bet on darts. It doesn't matter. You can bet on anything with DraftKings. Just be sure to use that DNVR code. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. This question comes from Ryan, who says, do you think Avs fans are starting to get too rowdy slash mean, or are we doing what all fans do? Giving a couple examples of throwing stuff on the ice, fights in the stands, and being mad at Tyson Jost.
I don't think it was being mad at Tyson Jost so much as it was the way that people treated him on social media after the trade and then after they won the cup.
Sure.
But no, I mean, that's obviously, yeah. That's ridiculous. It's also, none of that is unique to the Avs fan base.
I would say all three of those things are pretty unacceptable, but especially for a fan base who is now at the top and is growing rapidly, every fan base has their assholes, unfortunately. Just kind of the reality of, especially one that's growing fast and people are jumping on bad bandwagons and things like that.
But yeah, I mean,
the best attitudes.
I was in Winnipeg for the fight in the stands where the two Avs fans were getting kicked out and then started a whole brouhaha. And I was running the DNVR Avs Twitter account that night and everybody was mad.
Yep.
Like, Avs fans were embarrassed by that. We were all embarrassed by that.
Yep.
Like, you don't want that being associated with your fan base and having that nonsense. It sucks. Like, it's just, that sucks.
Yep. Don't be dumb.
Yeah, and none of that is unique to the to Avalanche fans. And I just think that people, social media has made tough guys out of all of us, and now we've started translating some of that into in person, and people are just, I feel like this is a society on the whole conversation where we're just not very nice to each other anymore. Yep. You know, just a, you know, a pleasant interaction is one where you just like pass somebody by on the street and you nod at them and they nod at you and there's no opportunity for any static to get started. So I just, you know, I just don't think that this is an Avs fan thing. I think that this is a, people are just wildly out of pocket far too often.
Yep. Across all fan bases.
Yeah.
Next question from Joseph. TOI was actually evenly spread out last night. Do you see that continuing until healthy? Avs defensemen had more shots on golden forwards. Is that a stat that's alarming? For the TOI, any game that gets out of hand and the Avs have no real chance of winning, or vice versa, any blowout, you're going to see the TOI get more balanced out. But Bednar has pretty clearly proven in any game that is close, he's going to ride his big guns.
There was no point last night.
Right. That game was over by the end of the second period. Well, and
like, to be honest with you, why even lean heavily on those guys? Even if you are winning a game, at this point, I'm more nervous about them giving these guys extra shifts and them doing something dumb and getting themselves hurt.
I'm with you, but you know how NHL head coaches operate. Yeah, they're trying to get two points in the moment.
Yeah, you understand. Yep. Especially because when you look at the backbreaking mistakes that are being made every night.
Yep.
Alex Galchenyuk with the penalty, and then Jacob McDonald misses a coverage, and you know, it's all those guys where you're like, well, if I just limit their time on ice, they can't do that to me.
It's true.
And then you overwork your top guys and they randomly get hurt.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what the hell am I supposed to do?
Can't win. Yeah. Definitely a tough spot. Defensemen having more shots on goal than forwards is a byproduct of the Avs having a bunch of forwards that, let's face it, last night they just weren't dangerous. They weren't capable of getting to the dangerous areas of the ice against a team like Boston because the skill difference was just too large.
Sampo Ranta got a scoring chance in the third period, and it was the first time I had realized he was in the game.
Yep.
Like, outside of looking at the initial lineup at the start, it was the first time that I noticed him the entire night. And it was like 5 minutes left in the third.
It's just the reality of the game is Boston, it was pretty easy for them to keep the Avs to the edges, to the perimeter. Because, Boston was playing against an AHL team for the most part. Like,
well, and Boston's really good. Like, we should not be acting like last night is what every game is going to look like for the next few weeks.
For sure.
It's not. Boston's the best team on the schedule for the rest of the year.
Could not have picked a worse team to play twice with the Avs in their current state.
You're talking like pick one of the teams off to an insane. So like you don't want any piece of New Jersey. You don't want anything to do with Vegas right now. Like leave all those guys for all those teams for when you have a chance.
Yep.
You know, like even the Islanders coming into Denver in a few weeks, that one you're like, we'll not see what great. The roster looks like, but so, you know, Philly coming back to town, like you're going to have and they were competitive in the Philly game.
Yep. It slipped away from them in large part because they lost Nathan MacKinnon in the middle of the hockey game.
Well, and so now you're not only down Nathan MacKinnon, but you're down to 11 forwards just total in that game.
Yep.
And then you get a bad performance out of Georgiev, who gives up an absolute backbreaking third goal in the Flyers.
That one
game.
You just can't have. Yep.
That third goal, and it was to me, it was like the third goal last night, but it was three. At that point, it was
game
three.
Game was over
and it
was the anyway. Yeah.
Game shit.
Yeah.
I did enjoy Mark Rycroft being like, oh, we know Trent Frederick can shoot, and it's like he has half his goals on the season against the Avs in the last week, man. feasting on the baddies.
Next question. Realistically speaking, what record do the Eagle Anch need to have in December in order to keep us in playoff reach?
Well, that really, I mean, we don't know what that is because we don't know how the teams around them.
It vastly depends on what the roster looks like. Yeah.
Well, and like, we don't know what Minnesota and St. Louis and Nashville are going to do.
Also true.
We don't know how those teams are going to fare.
Throw out the playoff part. What's a realistic expectation?
500 should be the goal.
Okay.
Even with this group, 500, you're at home. Like 500 it needs to be the goal through the new year. Just go 500 and you'll be fine. Now that sucks because it's a lot of home games. But again, they don't play anybody else on Boston's level. And they get a couple of that. They get the Flyers and the Coyotes.
Some very winnable games coming up.
Yeah,
for sure.
Their New Year's Eve game, I think, is
Toronto. Yeah,
that's a problem.
Yeah,
but they have L.A. before that. L.A.
hasn't
gotten
Nashville a few times. Yeah.
Yeah, L.A. doesn't at the moment can't stop a puck like.
Yeah, they have the Rangers, which is tough. But after that.
The Canadiens are in town, like
yep. Yeah. Flyers, Buffalo, Nashville, New York, Canadiens, Nashville, Arizona, LA. Like, if they get any help from guys like Nichushkin coming back, 500 should definitely be doable.
It's not a murderer's row of a schedule. It's a soft part of the schedule where, at the start of the year, you were like, "Oh my god, they are gonna shit on December." And they just haven't been, they're not healthy enough for you to feel that way right now. Right now, you're like, oh my God, are they, can they even score two goals in a game right now?
Would be nice. They scored three technically against the Flyers. Never mind that two of them came in the last 3 minutes.
Yeah, well, and like, look who scored those. Mikko does some awesome shit, and then it's a great play from Comfort and Newhook. Like, great. Yep. Let's just do that.
Yep. It's the reality. On that note, we are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. You can get 8 different kinds on tap down at the bar. You can also get it wherever you are in the United States. And apparently, it's starting to make its way into Canada. I've heard a couple people reach out, say they found the winter ale up in Canada. So you might be able to get some of it in Canada. Go to breckbrew.com. use their beer finder to get it at a local liquor store near you. And we're also brought to you by Green Mountain Dental Group, the best family dentist in the Denver metro area. When you get a cleaning, x-ray, and exam with them, they'll give you a free Sonicare toothbrush just for taking care of your teeth. Make sure you jump on it and get your teeth nice and clean. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Next question. Do you think any of the Eagles stick on this roster going forward? Is that a no?
I really don't, man.
Me,
I just, you know what?
So here's the path to an Eagle sticking on this roster. Ben Myers figures it out and starts looking like an NHLer. And then that guy can eventually slide into a fourth line center role.
Okay.
That's about the only one I see realistically having a chance to stick. And right now, Ben Myers is not playing. Yeah, right. Right now, it's not close. Like,
yeah. You know, the one guy that I really wonder about that feels like the X factor here is Jean-Luc Foudy to me.
Sure.
Because his style has fit in so nicely that I wonder if Bednar's just like, man, I like the cut of his jib. You know, like I just wonder if Bednar sees that, he sees the playmaking and,
yeah,
you know, and he sees the skating and he sees, hey, I could pair that guy with Alex Newhook and JT Compher and we could have a really
interesting
fast
combo
and talented group together that, you know, it's got a guy in Compher who can dig pucks every once in a while and like we'll see.
Flying by the seat of your pants defensively a little bit there, but
yeah, outside of that, man, I think the answer is no. And I don't think that I disagree with Cameron. I don't think that it's because guys haven't earned it. It's because the guys that are coming back are hard. Like, they're not putting Darren Helm on waivers. They're not putting Andrew Cogliano on waivers. Like,
I mean, realistically, there is, in a world where the Avs are healthy, there is one forward spot available.
And it, between Curtis McDermott and Jacob McDonald, they have two guys that they've invested in that can swing between forward and defense so that they don't need to use a roster spot on just a forward or whatever. Well, they could save, they're saving the money with guys that can do both.
And to and your point,
where I earlier, think they run into the hardest part.
Well, on top of that, one of these guys has to beat out Dryden Hunt for that spot, first of all.
Yeah.
And honestly, yeah, personally, I would have made an argument that maybe Kaut is doing that, but clearly the Avs don't feel that way, and I don't think anyone else is really that close.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with you.
So,
on all those points, that Kaut was doing it and that now it doesn't seem to matter, and that Hunt is now the guy, that's the guy that you have to gun for because he's got that inside track. So, all right.
Is what it is.
Yeah, and I will say it's been a lot of great experience for some of these guys. But you're talking about, this is why when we talk about promoting one of these guys and having, you know, oh, well, like maybe these one of these guys becomes an NHL player. Maybe two of them, if you're really lucky, can become an NHL player. So, you know, something like that. Like, it's really hard to get there. Because most of these guys have been really good AHL players at some point in their careers. You know, really the only one who just hasn't shown much in either place is Ben Myers. And that's because he just hasn't had very much time there.
He was hurt down with the Eagles, so.
Yeah. There just hasn't been a lot of time.
Yep. All right. A couple more questions here. I'm going to kind of combine these. A lot of people asking, should the Avs make a trade?
In the NHL, man.
Yep. He's a successful player with Boston, no less.
Yeah.
Should the Avs make a trade? Call it a panic trade, call it an injury trade, whatever you want. Ultimately, the answer here is probably no, because They don't really have the salary cap to do that, even with guys on IR, since almost all of them, except for Landy, are expected back within a month.
Yeah, and Landy's expected back before...
By the end of January,
right around February.
Yep.
So, my question, and I hope that at least one of the peeps that is asking about a trade is in chat, because I want a follow up question of what do you want them to trade for?
Well, there was a follow up question of, and great, this is more hypothetical. If you could take a role player from any team in the NHL, bottom six or bottom pairing D, who would it be and why?
I wouldn't. It's not what they need.
Fair enough.
And
this is ultimately...
Like, there are role players around the league that I really like where I'm like, oh, if that guy was an Av, I wouldn't hate that. You know, like
Ignore context and price and
if you ignore
considerations,
all the different factors, you know, like I really, really like Adam Lowry in Winnipeg, like as a 3C, as a big guy that does a lot of different things. Like, I really like that kind of player.
Well,
but in no universe are the Jets entertaining moving that guy or whatever. And, you know, like it's just not realistic.
So the reality is, if the Avs make a move now, it becomes that much harder for them to go make a bigger move at the deadline to get a 2C or a whatever that they want to go out and get, whether that's Jonathan Toews or Bo Horvat or whoever your favorite guy is that you want
Dylan the Avs Larkin. To pick
up. Sure, whatever. Like, any move they make now, I would say nearly eliminates them from being able to do something like that at the deadline.
Well, and if the move is Dylan Larkin, then, well, you don't need to go get a 2C at the deadline anymore.
Sure.
And,
like, if they want to do that move tomorrow, great. But
you busted that nut already. Like, you can't. You're done at the deadline the moment you make that deal because you don't have any assets left.
Yep.
The big thing here is they don't have the money for it. They don't have the money. They could probably conjure up the assets if they really wanted to, but it would be
the cupboards would be bare after
that. Well, and it would be one of those conversations where you're like, okay, if it's a future steal, they give up a first round pick, they give up Oscar Olsson, they give up Sean Behrens. There you go.
Yep. They give it
now up. What do you have left?
And I mean, if you do that, you better not miss.
Yeah, I mean, it better be Arturi Lehkonen, right? Like, it better be hell, it better be a guy that you can keep.
Yeah.
Because if it's Dylan Larkin or Bo Horvat, they can't keep them.
Yep.
They can't keep those guys. You have to win the cup this year with that guy, otherwise it's done. You can't keep them. And then you're back to looking for a 2C, and now you don't have any of those assets.
All right. That's most of the Twitter questions, chat. We can open it up to you. If you guys have any questions, you can throw them in there.
I will continue to say that the guy that makes the most sense is Jonathan Toews. He's driving play at a really high level this year. His defense is not what it used to be, but he also checks a bunch of boxes where he's a pending UFA that, you know, you don't really need, you know, we'll see how he fits and then maybe you bring him back, whatever. Maybe he finds new life here and, you know, you get really lucky and whatever, right? He fits your dire need for a guy that can win a faceoff in a big situation. He's got all the veteran experience and championship experience and captaincy and all that teams absolutely fall all over themselves for. All of those things are there. He checks all those boxes. Yeah. And to be honest with you, he just doesn't justify the cost. Like, because Dylan Larkin, because Bo Horvat, because Brock Besser. Some of these other guys,
maybe you can get Toews for a second round pick in 2025 or whatever.
It's probably because the Avs don't have any second round picks. It's probably going to take a prospect that Chicago likes.
Sure,
you know, as long as it's not Sean Behrens, to me has to be untouchable.
Yeah, agree.
And I would say Oscar Olausson's got to be pretty close to untouchable.
Yeah,
and the first round pick's not untouchable, but for Jonathan Toews,
it is.
No. Yeah. No, you're not giving up the first for Toews.
It's going to be Colby Ambrosio, and I'm going to be sad.
I would be sad as well.
Chicago can retain 50% of his salary. I do wonder if the Avs do go that route. I do wonder if they do a little send him through Arizona to get an extra 50% retained. But
well, and if they do launder him through another team, they don't really. Again, you're talking about they don't have many assets here. When we talk about this, yes, they've got a first round pick, but that doesn't mean that you just use it and you're done with it. You're not giving up at this point today. You're not giving up a first round pick for Jonathan Toews. You're just not.
The thing about laundering through him through another team is like we see teams can do that for like a sixth round pick these days. It's really,
and if they will do that, like if they'll take it, look, they could do a fourth round pick next year. Okay. But they've got no seconds this year or next. They've got no third this year or next. They don't have a fourth this year. They don't have a fifth next year. The only year in which they have all of their picks still is 2025.
Yep.
So if they want a second round pick, 2025 second round pick for Chicago for Jonathan Toews, if that's what it would take, dude, do it. But you're not giving up the first.
Yeah, I agree.
You're just not. Not for Jonathan Toews. He started the year really hot where you were like, maybe. But now he's returned back to earth a little bit, and you're having like where you're like, yeah, we're right back to no. He's not a guy that you're giving up a first round pick for. You're just not. You've given up a couple years worth of first round picks. You know, you gave up the pick for Kemper last year. You gave up Justin Barron last year. Like,
yep, you've given up a lot.
And you can't just be like, oh, we're gonna, you know, oh, the AHL depth is so bad. None of these guys are any good. And then be like, well, we're also going to get rid of all picks. Like, you have to put something into your farm system at some point. So.
I'm with you. A significant move when it comes to the farm system. The cupboards are already pretty darn thin.
Yeah, I mean, you have nobody on defense past Sean Barron's.
Literally,
like, there was a conversation like maybe Zhuravlov, and then that whole situation goes didn't against the Avs.
Yeah. Yeah, it is what it is. The Avs are going to run out of assets sooner rather than later. So they got to make it work one way or another.
Yeah, and like they've already and look, they went to the mats with those assets last year, and worth it.
Well, it, right, like never gonna say it was a bad move. Obviously it worked out as good as possible. Well,
it's so. Not it wasn't even just that they won the cup. I mean, obviously that's the big piece there, but they also retained all those guys. Cogliano, Lekkonen, Manson, all of them are on this year's roster. If they go and get a Bo Horvat or whatever, that won't be the case.
Yep,
that guy, they cannot bring that guy back. The thing that you're talking about with a Jonathan Toews is that at 35 years old, he's not looking for a big time contract. Maybe you could keep him for a year or two.
Hopefully. I mean, depending on his play, of course, but it's certainly.
But the where they are right now, you don't even know what they need at the deadline.
Right. Because that's what I was going to say.
They've not been healthy enough for you to select. Look, with Nichushkin and Landeskog in your lineup, if Evan Rodriguez is a perfect fit between those two guys, you don't need to go get a 2C. Maybe you're talking about getting a third line guy that can help you out. And that we know that the cost for those guys is way, 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 way more reasonable at the deadline. It's usually still a little too high, but you're talking about like, oh, a third round pick or a second round pick or you know, something like that. It's a
way different value conversation for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a completely different world that totally different waters that you're swimming in. If you're going out and you're like, oh, hey, we need like a bottom six guy to shore these things up. You know, they got Cogliano for a fifth last year. They got Nico Sturm for Tyson Jost. Like,
yep.
You can look at those and say, all right, those were not really, really, really like high valued assets there.
For sure. I don't see too many more questions, so I guess we're going to wrap this up. AJ, any final thoughts since it's been a while since you've been on the show?
No, I mean, I'm good. I mean, there isn't anything to say about the game, so
I trust.
Well, and I'm writing all the fucking recaps anyway, so anybody that's curious about how I feel about anything, all those articles are free, guys.
There you go. Die Hard season. There are still a couple of tickets left for the Takeover and Party Bus also, like literally like less than five. So be sure to get in on that. You can go to DNVR Locker, get your tickets now. There are some seats available if you already have your ticket to the game, though. You can pick up those.
And some of those people are getting to go down to sit on the bench for warm-ups.
Yeah, like, straight up.
I don't understand. Like, the whole diehard thing, like, that, it doesn't get any more diehard. I did that once back in the day, a million years ago, sat on the bench for warm-ups. It is very cool.
Eight of you are getting selected if you buy a party bus ticket to sit on the bench for warm-ups. So, super awesome thing.
Winnipeg's having a heat wave right now, all right? It's 10, it's 10 degrees right now, which is 30 degrees warmer than it was just a couple of days ago. And we're having a down... It's heat wave this weekend. Straight up heat wave this weekend is going to be right around 30 degrees.
That is hot.
Dude. I'm so looking forward to it. And no, the answer is not to trade Gerard. They were never going to keep Kadri in the offseason. This is the short-sighted stuff that kills me. They were not giving that guy a 7-year deal. Calgary is going to hate the end of that contract. They may not even get to the end of that contract before they start hating it.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get that close to the end of the deal for sure. Anyway, we're going to get out of here for the day. We appreciate all y'all hanging out, sending us your questions. We'll be back tomorrow, game day, the usual stuff there. And then we're off Saturday and another game Sunday. So we hope to see you at those. Until then, we will talk to you later.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.